Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah. And the funny part about that is I am so undeserving of that. So now I would ask that we give God praise. Because if it wasn't for him, come on somebody, shout. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for him picking me up in the mess that I was in, if it wasn't for him seeing that dirty old messy boy down in South Florida that had no purpose in life, that was nothing but a mess up, but still saw the purpose he saw when he created me. My God, you guys ain't hearing me tonight. If it wasn't for him, I don't know where I would be. I would probably dead in the middle of a ditch somewhere off the side road of I-95. Somebody, listen, before I get preaching, I just have to give a... I love you to my mom and dad. They are watching via YouTube. All right. And so I love you. And let me tell you something, my God, I feel the anointing all over me. If it wasn't for praying parents, I would still be out there strung out on drugs. I would still be out there being an alcoholic. And I would still be out there being useless and worthless. But because my mama and daddy was praying for me. At nights when I would call at 3 o'clock in the morning and they didn't have to answer, they still answered the phone and said, "Son, where are you? Are you alive? Are you okay?" And so for that, I'm very thankful, because the Bible does say, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is older, he won't depart from it. And I might have departed from it, and Satan might have had his little time of fun with me. But my God, he should have killed me when he had the chance. My God. Hallelujah. Thank you. So tonight, before we get into the word, I just want you to lift your hands towards heaven. And let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you for what you have done in this house tonight already. Lord, open up my heart, open up my mind, Lord. Anything that I have, Lord, pour out, God, that I might be an empty vessel, God. God, that your words would become my words, God. Lord, that you would make every crooked place straight tonight, God. God, that you would make every confused place tonight understood tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, I bind you up. You are a loser and a liar, and the blood of Jesus is against you. And I serve notice on you right now. You have no authority or no place in this house. And I lift up the name of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So tonight, I'm bringing my text from an old saying. It's a G.I. Joe saying, that knowing is half the battle. How many of y'all can agree that knowing is definitely half the battle? Tonight I want to talk to you about when knowing becomes the battle. Because many a times we face our giants and we face turmoil and we face our adversity and we have little to know what we are and who we are and where we stand. So tonight, if there's anybody in this house that is hard of understanding who you are in Christ, we're going to find out tonight. Amen? Amen? Amen. When knowing becomes the battle. Turn and tell your neighbor, say, there's a little bit of David in you. A little bit of David. Now turn and tell your other neighbor, say, oh Lord, put your seatbelt on. Josh is preaching. All right, all right. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching out of the book of the prophet Samuel, the first book, the 23rd chapter. Or, my apologies, the 17th chapter, starting with verse 23. When you find that, go ahead and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can't find it, look up on the screen or look over at your neighbor. At their Bible, not at them. And we're going to do a little bit of reading tonight. Is that okay? Some of us ain't read all week. So we're going to do a little bit of reading. Is that okay? Can we all be in agreement in that? All right. So the book of the prophet Samuel in the 17th chapter, 23, it says, "And as he talked with them," him being David, "behold, there came up a champion a Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, of the armies of the Philistines, and spake accordingly to the same words, and David heard them. Now, we find in the beginning of this chapter that Goliath had came out to the middle of the field and called out the whole army of Israel. Now, you have to know you bad when you're calling out a group of men. Because I know that back in my day, I would look and I would find the one I knew I could take. And then I would find the one that maybe I could take, but I'm just going to hit him first and then run and then have to scrap up with the other guy. But I never came into the whole room and said, all right, listen, every single one of y'all, y'all can get it right now. Because that's just foolishness. Or you have to be a bad guy to take on a full group of men. So, verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen the man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him the daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. How many of y'all would like to pay off your mom and daddy's house tonight? Come on, somebody. I know I would. Real talk. So, and David spake to the men and stood by and saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Somebody say, who is this dude? Who is this dude? All right. That he should defy the army of the living God. And the people answered him after that manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And we're going to stop right there for just 1 second. So, my first point tonight is going to be, you need to know who you are. All right. Because if you don't know who you are and where you come from, honey, you're going to have problems later on down the road. And if you already down the road, let me tell you something. I can only imagine how your journey was, not knowing who you are. I'll tell you, for about 5 to 6 years, I didn't know who I was. I felt who I was. I did know who I was, but I was running from it. I didn't care. And it was just a thing of the past that I knew was right, but, you know, I'm doing my own thing right now. Because I know who I am, but at the same time, you know, I've changed. How many of y'all know that change happens? But you can't let it change your salvation. You can't let it change who you are in Christ. Because let me tell you something, no matter where you've been or what you've done, no matter what lie the enemy has told to your face, you are still a child of the living God. Whether you've backslid and you've fallen away from the Lord, you are still a child. And if you turn around right now tonight, he will accept you with open arms. My God, if you have run your whole life running away from God, don't feel ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Because he loves you and he still cares for you. You know, the funny thing is, you need to know who you are, but the people that have no idea who you are have the most to say about you. Can I get somebody to testify? The person that really you just met yesterday, they went ahead and they act like they've been your friend since kindergarten. Somebody help me out. When you know who you are in Christ, you become a threat to the enemy. The enemy doesn't have time to be worried about someone who knows what they're doing. Amen? If you're just running around like a chicken with your head cut off, if you just come into church on Sunday mornings and you're just living the motions because it feels good and you think that that's what the Lord wants, but yet when you Monday through Friday, and let me tell you something, I can't preach it because I lived it. And Monday through Friday, you just living like hell. You just all up in the world, not caring what the Lord says. And then Saturday night, about 12 o'clock, you saying, Lord, I'm about to be in your house tomorrow. Bless me, and I will bless you. And just forget about what happened this week. We're just going to put it behind us because, you know, listen, it's all good. It's all good, God. Come on. But somebody needs to know tonight that the enemy takes you as a threat as soon as you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Right. if we don't know who we are and we're not a threat, we're just like fish in a barrel, getting picked off one by one. You know, I remember growing up, my brother had a PlayStation, and I would play that thing, and I had no idea what I was doing. I would just press all the buttons. You know the fighting games? You know the big old fighting games that you see in the arcades and whatnot, and you just hit all the buttons and hoping to win, and then you kind of find out that one's the kick button, and then that one's the punch button, but you still don't know, so you're just pressing them all at the same time, and you're just moving the joystick. And then, like, by the end of it, you done had a full 45-minute workout. You didn't even need to go to the gym. Well, that was when I was a kid, and I wish I still had that energy. Lord Jesus. So, hey, I'm 25 years old, and I'm not getting any younger, people. But I I remember as I was growing up, I would play these games and I would just hit the buttons and I would just press all the buttons and try to win. And there would be times where I just didn't even know what the game was. So I was just playing it, just pressing all the buttons, not knowing what there was. But there was a time when I grew up and I said, oh, wait, okay, this ain't fighting, this is football. You know what I'm saying? That's a football he's throwing. So I began to read the manual. Come on, somebody. I began to read the manual, and I began to see the combination buttons. What does what? What individual button does what? Some of us need to learn some combination buttons.
Come on.
That will help you to go ahead and give that old slew-footed, yellow-bellied devil a good old uppercut to the chin. Sometimes I just feel like burying that old devil all the way up to his neck so I can punch him in the nose about 10 times and then leave him there so I can come back the next day and do the same thing. I can't get no help up in here, somebody. So, I'm serious. I feel like I could just storm the gates of hell right now with a water pistol and take every single one of them out. So, once you begin to know who you are, you know, I was in the middle school today, and some kids, they had started to share some testimonies, and it was share week, and my God, they are dealing with things that I didn't deal with in middle school, and that's crazy to me. That stuff I didn't deal with until I was about 18, 19 years old. About to graduate high school. I mean, good God Almighty. And the stories. Depression, bullying, suicide. It's real, people. And the enemy is out there to get you and to get you to fall and to get you to stumble. My God, listen, you've heard a priest in this pulpit time after time again. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Which brings me to my next point. You need to know where you stand. If you don't know where you stand in today's society and in public school, they will tell you all types of nonsense, all types of stuff. Well, well, there is this creature that came up out of the water and it grew some legs because it wanted to. And they will make it sound so believable, like you watching something right off the Discovery Channel. And if you are a young man or a young woman, and let's not even limit it to middle school, let's say high school, college level, and if you don't know exactly where you stand, if you are not firmly rooted in the Word of God, you will easily be persuaded to believe something else, even if it's not something as crazy as evolution. It might be the Big Bang Theory. It might be Scientology. It might be something else, but my God, let me tell you something. I know the Creator of heaven and of earth because I have felt Him inside of me. I can look at the trees. I can look at the flowers, and I can feel the presence of the Lord. I can go out here to the Eco Walk, and I can walk around and just breathe in fresh air, and I can say, Lord, this is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Satan, get under my feet. Watch out, because I'm on fire. Watch out, because I know who I am in Christ, and I know where I stand. David, even when he was a shepherd boy, he knew where he stood. He knew that he was called to worship. And how many of y'all know that we are called to spread the gospel of Christ? we are all called to worship. We were made to magnify the Lord. We were made to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. We were made to walk in the cool of the day and just chill with the Lord. That's what we were made to do. And David, he knew that from a young age. He got that little git fiddle out there, and he just started playing. And he was out there by himself, and he knew that God was there with him. He could feel the Holy Spirit. He ushered in, I believe his first congregation was his sheep. And I bet you a couple of them, he said, "Who wants to get saved today?" And if one went, "Bah," he would say, "I see that, bah. I see that, bah." Hallelujah. But it prepared him. It prepared him because he knew, though. He knew where he stood in Christ. He knew that worshiping the King is what he was called to do and what he was created for. And he knew where his strength came from, whether it be a lion or whether it be a bear or whether it was his brother coming out to just give him a old noogie on the top of the head or a wet willy or tackle him, whatever it might have been, or all of his brothers. But you have to know where you stand. But you can't just focus on where you stand. You have to know what you stand against. But let's just go back to that. If you don't know where you stand, and if you don't stand for something, then you'll fall for anything. And if something that's standing against you, my God, if God before you, somebody needs to hear this tonight. Whatever you've been battled with through this last week, whatever you've been putting up with, the Lord's saying tonight that if he be for you, if he is on your side, no one can defeat you. You might get an uppercut to the jaw. You might get punched dead smack in the eyeball and have a shiner the next day. But my God, he said, if I be in your corner, if I be for you, then who could be against you? Ain't nobody gonna kill you. Ain't nobody gonna take you out. So my God, child of God, let me tell you something. If you are facing adversity, the Lord says, just hold fast, because he won't let you die. It may feel like you're about to die. I've been there a couple times. And I know your whole entire pastoral staff has felt that a couple times. And I say I felt that a couple times because I knew I was about to die a couple times. Can I get an amen from the front row, somebody? So you have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Be careful who you let to speak in your life. Because if you just let any old person speak in your life, my God, they could bring you down the wrong road. Yep. And before you even look twice, you already come to a fork in the road. You have no idea where you at. All the sun done went down. There ain't no street lights. Listen, I don't know if anybody's familiar with South Florida, but we got a place called Alligator Alley that goes from Okeechobee Road to Palm Beach. And let me tell you something. If you run out of gas in the middle of the night, you ain't getting out your car. Because that's where they let all their, reptiles go, snakes, alligators, bigger than your car, lose a leg. Y'all ain't hearing me tonight. Let me just say this. If you find yourself in the middle of nowhere and you run out of gas, just stay in your car. Because ain't nobody got time for that. So you need to be careful who you let speak in your life, because you realize that if you take that advice and you run with it, you will find yourself in a spot that God might not have called you to be in, or that you might just, pastor preaches it all the time. Why ask someone that has not had a successful marriage for advice, or take advice from somebody that's offering you advice? Or why get advice from somebody that struggles with addiction and say, well, this is what you need to do to stop it, when they can't even do it? Amen. And I believe that was part of my problem for the longest time. I would take advice from people that had no business pouring into my life. But I took it with more than a grain of sand. And I took it and I applied it to my life. And I found myself so whacked out, so far away from God. My God, I had to turn around and say, and I had to call on the name of the Lord. So let's find ourselves back in the book of Samuel. We're going to go to verse 28. And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, angry, he was kindled against David. And he said, why did you come down here? With whom hast thou left with your sheep in the wilderness? And I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that you might see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there no cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake against the same manner and to the people, and they answered him the same way as before. He said, bro, why did you even come down here? I know you, David. David said, listen, are you not hearing what he's saying? He's defying the living God, the God who created you, the God who created me, the God who created this very ground that we stand on. And you're going to sit there and let him defy you? I bet if he was talking about daddy, you wouldn't let him just sit there and talk that talk. And he turned around and he just said, you know what? You ain't even hearing what I'm saying. And he went back to the men of Israel. And I believe he just started walking up and down the army and said, listen, do you guys not hear what this uncircumcised Philistine is saying? He's saying that our God is not real. He's saying that we're just a bunch of wimps. He's saying that we can't take him out. My God, don't you know that you can do all things through the living God who strengthens you? Don't you know that if you just lift him up, that everybody will flee away from you? Don't you know that he won't let you die? Don't you know? Weren't you raised to know that the Lord is on your side? Oh, child of Israel, who are you to let him talk about us like that? And not even us talk about the living God like that. Brings me to my third point. You need to know who your enemy is. Let me tell you, let me just go ahead and clear the air. Sister Susie is not your enemy. Well, she looked at me cross-eyed. Sister Susie is cross-eyed. She ain't got no choice but to look at you cross-eyed. Well, let me tell you something. Brother Flip Flop and Sister Yay Yay, they parked in my parking spot, and I had to park on the other side all the way over by El Shaddai, and I had to walk, and you know, I start sweating if I don't get right in the AC fast enough. And you know what? And both Brother Flip Flop and Sister Yay Yay were both in the same car, so I can't just be mad at one. I have to be mad at both of them. Brother Flip Flop and Sister Yay Yay is not your enemy. Because there is an enemy out there that is roaring like a lion, seeking to see whom he may devour, who is not firmly planted into the word of God, who doesn't know who they are or where they stand. But I've come to serve notice on the devil tonight that I am a child of the living God. And I have messed up, but I turned my life around, and as hard as I ran for the devil, as hard as I chased that shot of liquor, as hard as I chased that high, my God, I'm chasing God even harder. I can't just sit back and act like God didn't deliver me from anything. I can't just sit back and act like God didn't deliver me from powder cocaine and alcoholism and weed and marijuana and my God, ain't nobody hearing me. I'm saying that the Lord is still the same God that he was yesterday, that he was for Pastor Cash, that he was for Pastor Ronnie, that he was for you, and that he is for me. Hallelujah. Sister Susie is cross-eyed, so don't take offense. The Bible says that Goliath was a champion. Webster's defines champion as one who has defeated all of his opponents in competition or a series of competitions so as to hold first place. So this means this wasn't Goliath's first fight. And he was a champion. Anybody that came up in his way, he tore to shreds. And that's why he was so bad to be able to call out all of Israel and say, who thinks they bad enough to come? Because I'll take all of y'all right now. Goliath tonight He represents the things that are opposing you. He represents the enemy. And the problem is we're always staring at the enemy. We need to go ahead and lift our eyes above the enemy and look to where our help comes from. And what does that mean? That means we have to position ourselves and aim higher so that way, my God, you ain't hearing me. In order that you'd have to lift your perspective higher and see your victory. And this is something that you can't do in the middle of a fight. Because I'm going to tell you straight up, if somebody's in front of you and they've got their knuckleballs out, and you're about to get clocked with one or two, you ain't just going to say, before you even go into the fight, you need to go ahead and have your perspective aimed higher. You need to look at who your help is and where it comes from. Don't be waiting until you end the trial or a situation to begin to say, oh, wait, where is my help coming from? My God, I need to know where my help comes from because I'm lost. I'm in a dark place. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there was a time in my life where I was just in this dark room, literally a room, and I was talking to the wall, but I was trying to pray and I was trying to get through to heaven, and I felt like it was just bouncing off the concrete. And I was all by myself. But you need to look forward. Aim high. Let your perspective be higher than your adversity. Because we said it before, if God be for you, if God is in your corner, then nothing can defeat you. So why even pay attention? The battle is not ours, it's the Lord's, amen? How many of y'all can testify to that tonight? If the battle is not yours and the battle of the Lord's, what you even trying to get up in there for? Listen, I'm going to tell you straight up. My brother, now there's not much of a difference, but there is some difference. They're about 2 inches, but I don't act like he's that much bigger than me, you know? I can't afford to. And but I'm telling you, if somebody was trying, and if somebody was being, you know, acting out, and John was like, this is my fight, I would say, okay. I'd let him. And if I had to, of course, you know I'm going to jump in. But if he says this is my fight, ain't no way I'm just going to run up and start trying to swing on somebody, especially if I'm out of their league. So, we need to make sure that the battle that you're fighting tonight is not behind you and it's in front of you. There are some times in our life where we find ourselves in a position where God is in front of us and he's saying, come, come. And yet we say, we've got, Brother Flip-Flop or Sister Yay-Yay behind us, and they speaking into our life. This all goes back to the other point, knowing where you stand. But they might be behind you, and they might have good intentions, but they just ain't in the will of God, and they're trying to pour into your life, and you aren't careful of who you're letting pour into your life. And somebody might be behind you, and you're trying to fight the battle in front of you, and you might be trying to aim towards heaven, and you might be doing that, but in the meantime, now Sister Flip-Flop and Brother Yay-Yay, they done switched tables on you, and now they your enemies. And now, because you done didn't do something that they wanted you to do, now all of a sudden, they slandering your name all over the place, and they bringing you to the front, and they bringing your name up every single time they got something to talk about. Because, hey, listen, let me tell you something. If somebody has something to say about me, I pray that if somebody has something to say about me, that it would be in high regards. I'm building that up. I know that. And I'm only 25, so I still got some time to mature and to become who God has called me to do and to step into that position and to step into that role. But my God, If you want to talk about me and be a hater on my behalf, that's fine. You can go ahead and do that, because I'm trying to get twice as many haters in 2017 as I did in 2016. Come on, somebody. Hey, you want to talk about something good? Go ahead and talk about me. My God. So, not only do you need to make sure that the enemy is not behind you, it's in front of you. You need to make sure that your enemy is not living dead smack in between your own two ears. You need to make sure that your enemy is not the enemy. Amen. So you can hear, this is good. You cannot defeat the enemy until you know who they are. Listen, you cannot defeat the enemy until you know who they are, or who he is, or who she is. Oh, Lord, let me backtrack. Who they are. If it's a fight the devil wants, my God, it's a fight the devil's going to get. That old slew-footed belly, yellow-bellied devil. So we go. David and his brothers, they were both raised the same way. Amen. I'm assuming. How many of y'all have grown up with siblings? Come on. Thank you, Lord. I know I'm not alone. Even though I was the worst one, and let me just go ahead on record, even though I've said it before, all those Reese's wrappers and gum wrappers and all that was tore up on the floor in your room, Heather, it wasn't the dog, it was me. It's a good idea, though. They never saw it. And then they would give my dog a bunch of Pepto-Bismol because they thought the dog ate a bunch of chocolate. A small price to pay for me, you know what I'm saying? If she would have just shared, it wouldn't have been a problem. Anyways, so anybody that's been raised with siblings, you know that you were raised with the same morals and the same standards, right? 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what's going to happen. 9 times out of 10, if you're not allowed to cuss in your household, not just one child is not going to be allowed to cuss. Every child is not going to be allowed to cuss. If one person is not allowed to get up in the middle of the night and raid the refrigerator raid the refrigerator, then you know that most likely all the children are not allowed to get up in the middle of the night and get what they want. So you know that David, if David was raised to worship the Lord and know that God is the only living God, that God is the creator of heaven and of earth, and that he is who he said he is, then his brothers knew the exact same thing. Amen? And what were they doing but standing there? They said, David, stop. Listen, I know what you're coming out to do. And David's coming out like this. He said, yo, this is my game. This is my thing. Listen, you have no idea. I'll take this dude out. Just say the word. I will go down there right now. David, why do you always have to do this? Always trying to get somebody stirred up. Always trying to get somebody to act out. I mean, listen, we just waiting for Goliath. Listen, it's getting a little chilly out here. He might catch a cold. He might need to go take some Benadryl and go lay down for a little while. And you over here trying to mess with him and trying to get him to come mess with us. Why don't you just stop and just go back home? I don't even like cheese. Bring me all this cheese. Lord Jesus. And the whole time David is saying, listen, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm saying this guy is defying God. My brother and sister, they messed things up for me. Yeah, I said it. Listen, I'm going to tell you straight up. So my brother and my sister, they would take and they would drink all their milk before dinner was ready. And then, by the time dinner was on the table, they wouldn't be hungry to eat. And so you know what the rule became? Nothing to drink until you're finished with all your food. And that, real talk, I ain't playing. Ain't no cups set out or nothing. my brother and my sister's youth pastor, their son was my age, and he came over and had dinner with us. He came over to play and whatnot, and we were best friends, and I believe I lost that friendship over this stupid rule because he went back to his mom and dad and said, I am never going over to eat there again. And they said, why? Because my mom and dad didn't let him get anything to drink until after he got done eating all his food either. I'm going to tell you straight up. David knew that his brothers knew better. They were raised the same way. They were raised to know that God is God and God alone. Let's go to verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. King Saul said, no, bro. Why am I send you out there? Why am I going to send you out there to fight against this dude? Look at you, bro. I mean, I can see you done some push-ups. Okay, I see you. But that still doesn't change the fact that he's a champion. He's a bad dude. Listen, the scripture says that when Goliath showed up on the scene, that the men, they ran. Men, plural, a bunch. They ran away from him because he was so big. For lack of time, I'm not going to get into how big he was and what the dimensions of his shield and his sword and his shin guards were. But let me tell you something. This dude was huge. One look at him was going to make you run. So King Saul said no. And David, I believe that David said that I might be a small piece of leather, but I am well, well put together. Send me out there. Send me out there, coach. I'll go do it. And it's dangerous to know what to do and not do it, amen? Because a lot of people focus on what everybody else is doing wrong and what everybody else's problems are. But my God, let me tell you something. The Bible does declare that to know what is right and not do it, to him, that is sin. If I could just testify, and let's just hold me accountable to this. I'm coming to you as family right now. You know, listen, I have a problem giving food away. If the Lord tells me, if the Lord tells me you need to go to McDonald's, buy them two double cheeseburgers and a Coke to drink and give it to them, that's fine. But when God has that other half a sandwich sitting right there, and that's a foot long, and I'm still eating the first half, and God says, you need to get that other half. Oh, Lord Jesus. Can't I just go buy a whole foot long? No, you need to do that. And I fought with God. And that's real talk. And I know that it's funny, but at the same time, listen, to know to do right and not do it to him, that is sin. And for David's brothers to be standing there, not doing a darn thing, because they know what to do, because David didn't even have to go. All his brothers had to do was say, in the name of the Lord, we come against you. And they could have went and they could have took down that Philistine. How many of y'all agree with that tonight? David didn't even need to show up. But David was being prepared. There are some things that you know, David was thinking in the supernatural. David was definitely thinking in the supernatural, and David's brothers were thinking in the natural realm. There's a difference. There's a very thick line between the natural and the supernatural. Natural, speeding. I know that if I'm gonna speed, I'm gonna get a ticket. Believe me, I know. I know, okay? I know that if I don't do my job at Dunkin', if I don't bake the donuts, that them donuts ain't gonna be made. And I can tell you right now that I can take and I can set out all the donuts and I can set them right on the counter and I can say, all right, Lord, you do what you do. And I can march around Dunkin' Donuts 7 times. And on the 7th time around, give out a mighty shout and say, yes, Lord, thank you for donuts. I'm going to march my happy butt right back into the Dunkin' Donuts. And those donuts are going to still be set in the same place that they were before. Amen. Supernatural things such as sickness, such as depression, bondage, oppression. Those are things that we fight on a supernatural level. Things that you can't see with the naked eye. Things that you are normally on a regular day-to-day adventure, you would not have to deal with these certain things. But when adversity comes, certain things are fought with prayer and fasting. Amen. And I believe this is a vital season for our family as the bishop leads us through this fast. Because if we don't fast, my God, listen, there are some things that we are coming up against as a family, and we're gonna be needing to hit our knees and be praying. We're gonna be needing to do more than just a small little devotion time. We're gonna be needing to fast, pray, and break through to heaven, because what the man of God is doing in this house is not just on 12th Ave. What the man of God is doing in his house is all over Citrus County. You've got people driving all the way from Marion County to come to church. You've got, hey, I learned this in CAMS. A church that's alive is worth the drive. All right? And we're alive in this house. And I thank God for a leader that keeps it alive. And I'm sure there's been a couple times where it was about dead and you had to give it mouth-to-mouth and CPR. But you did it. And for that, I'm thankful because, my God, I feel like I'm where I need to be right now in this season. And for that, I thank you so much. I thank the Lord for keeping me. Verse 40, let's go ahead and throw that up. As he took his staff in his hand, him being David, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in the scrip, and with his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine that bared a shield before him. So David approaches the Philistine, and I can imagine David on that warm afternoon as he just began to stand ankle deep in that little pool of water as he was picking out some stones. And I can imagine as he was picking those out, a lot of people say he picked out 5 stones for the fivefold ministry. That's why he picked out 5. And some people like to say that he picked out 5 smooth stones because he was afraid that he might miss, but he just wanted to have them for backup. And honestly, I still do lean towards, like, don't quote me on this. This is just what I would like to imagine. I believe that because Goliath did have 4 brothers, he was just making sure, because I know that if my brother got hit, I would go after and avenge my brother. I would avenge my father. And I like to lean towards that he did that, and he was prepared. God's going to call you to things that you're going to have to prepare yourself for, amen? And if you don't prepare yourself, you're going to find yourself high and dry. You're going to find yourself in the middle of a flood with low-cut jeans on, and they're going to be all wet and nasty. You ain't going to be prepared. You're going to find yourself in the middle of a fight that you don't want to be in because you haven't prepared. I feel like somebody tonight is going to stand on top of their giant. I feel like somebody tonight has been faced with adversity, and tonight is your night. Tonight is your night to say enough is enough. You have defied me for the last time. You have defied the God that I serve for the last time. And I call out right now every single ounce of depression that might be on anybody in this congregation. I call it forth and I say in the name of Jesus, be gone and go right back to the pit of hell where you came from. I declare right now every ounce of poverty or every ounce of mental poverty in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody needs to go ahead and stand up and shout and begin to stand on top of your giant. Some people in in this house tonight are standing or are being faced with some giants, and they don't know where they stand, or they don't know exactly who they are in Christ. Well, honey, let me tell you something. You're a child of the living God. And if he be for you, who could be against you? He owns the cattle on the 1,000 cattle on a hillside. He owns everything that you can even look at. I can't get no, I'm going to come over to this side. Somebody needs to go ahead tonight and stand on top of your giant. Somebody tonight needs to go ahead and just realize that what has been holding you down, soon you're about to go ahead and take a stone out of your, a spiritual stone out of your satchel. And you're going to go ahead and just, and kill the enemy right where he stands. And you're going to find yourself right on top of him. And you're going to take the very thing that was holding you back, the very thing that was intimidating you, that sword, I'm going to tell you, that thing had to have been huge because he was a huge dude. And he's not going to carry around this little old rinky-dink thing. Let me tell you something. If Goliath had a sword and David had to, somebody tonight is going to go ahead and take off the head of the giant that's been facing them. Praise team, if you would go ahead and make your way up here. I want to leave you with three things tonight. God's instructions are personal. One. Two, they're practical. And number three, they are progressive. The Lord is calling you not to be scared of your giants tonight. And I can, if I can just encourage you, family, that if you do not know who you are, tonight is tonight. If you have ran away from God and you know who you are and you know that where you're at is not right, my God, tonight is the night. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the next day, today. And as I hand this service back over to Pastor, let me just encourage you that you are loved. You are a child of God. You are mighty. You are a warrior. You are more than capable to take down these giants that you've been faced with. Know who you are in Christ. Know where you stand. And make sure you know who your enemy is. And it ain't Sister Susie Q.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.